Hello and welcome back. It's Father's Day weekend and I've got a special episode planned out for today. I have some thoughts about gaming as a parent with your kids and also just growing up with games, and I want to share that, and I want to offer some of my experience to those other gamer dads out there, gamer moms, to sort of help with some of the games that I've found that my kids really loved and we had a great time with, and I want to share that with. And for anyone who's listening, if you want to share the gems that you've uncovered in your travels, by all means, in the comments, hit me up and let me know, because always up for some good games. So I am a father too. I have a son who's 9 and a daughter who is 4. They both love video games. They both love different types of video games. The world would be a simpler place if I could just set them down and have them play Mario Kart with each other, but those days are few and far between. And today I'm going to talk about some of the games that they really gravitated toward and that we had a ton of fun together playing. But first, I want to get a couple of honorable mentions out of the way. Before I get, I got a top 5 list, top 5 hits of my dad experience so far. First, some honorable mentions. I think the first honorable mention must go to the Mario series. I love Mario. Super Mario Bros. Was, and even Mario Bros., the original in the arcade, were both just huge events in my formative years. I remember going to an arcade and playing the original Mario Bros. When I was in grade school, and it was just amazing. I loved it. It was the peak of that era of games, where it was the arcade game where it was one screen and you just played until you died, which was usually like about 5 minutes, and then you put in another quarter because you were having a great time. And that was the way it was when I was a kid. But the Mario series now has come a long ways. I love it. It is the gold standard of platformers in my book. I think there's some that are definitely competitive, but in terms of body of work and consistency, it's really hard to beat Mario. The thing is, it's a adorable death trap most of the time. And for small kids, that can be really frustrating. So, you know, a game like Super Mario U on the Switch, which was one of the first games that we really played on the Switch, my son and I ended up having a lot of fun with that. But when he was about 5 years old, he just found it incredibly frustrating, because those little hole jumps that you take for granted as an adult and teenager, they're a little challenging when you're just learning the ropes of a video game. I think Mario has gotten better in recent years with Nabbit and Toadette. I think those are both a couple of great additions to make it easier for kids. I would not recommend starting them with Mario. But my son has gone on to have a lot of fun with Mario Builder 2, and we will get to that. But that's more of an honorable mention. Mario Builder is a little different thing. We'll get to that. The other two honorable mentions I would say are the kid games, PJ Masks and Dog Man. My son is in a huge Dog Man arc. He loves Dog Man. He's read all the books. I think there's stuff that he loves about those books, and we have a lot of fun with it. We've never beat that one, so we have to sit down and really beat it. That's a good beginner platformer, with an IP that a lot of kids really like. It's very solid, so we're going to dig into it. For some reason, we've never gone all in on it, and I'm going to get to some of the games that we liked better, but it's not a bad game. It's a fun little game if they like Dog Man, and it's pretty forgiving, but not quite as forgiving as the PJ Masks game, which my daughter has. And she's had some fun with it, but it's never really been the big thing. So, you know, we're probably going to beat it at some point, like this summer. I'll make a point of sitting down and beating it with her, but it's never quite popped for her. And I don't know why, but it's a solid game, especially for beginners. It's incredibly forgiving. It's probably the most forgiving game I've ever seen. You just run around and collect crystals and platform to the end of the levels. There's like no holes. You basically can't die. So it's a great beginner game. If they're like, you know, 4 or so and like their first game, it's not bad. It's solid. But the games I'm going to get to are ones that they had a lot more fun with. And I'm going to start with that list now. The first one is for my daughter. Really her first big video game, Princess Peach Showtime. This was like the first game where she got into the hype cycle. Like when I was showing her the Nintendo Direct and it showed Princess Peach on a horse, she just was, it was just starstruck. She's like, okay, I've got to have it. We got it. She probably played like 120 hours of Princess Peach Showtime, and it's of a difficulty level where there were definitely times where I needed to help her. So for a girl who's four, there were times where I needed to step in and help her. But if you're looking for an experience where the two of you are playing together and they're kind of taking the lead, I would say Princess Peach Showtime definitely functions in that capacity. I would caution it's not peak Nintendo, but the combination of being able to play as Princess Peach and just how friendly and forgiving it generally is, it was really good purchase for us. It's probably in her top two games of all time. So highly recommend it if your circumstances align with mine. And I do want to add the disclaimer, everything I'm saying here today is in my experience. Your experience may vary. I'd love to hear about your experience, but these are all my perspectives. So sometimes I get rolling and I sound like I'm talking as if I know all these things. It's just my own experience. So on my son's side, the first game he watched me play was Link's Awakening. He loves Cartoon Link to this day. When we get the Switch 2 out, spoilers, by the way, when we get the Switch 2 out for Christmas, he's probably going to play Wind Waker first. He loves Cartoon Link. So that was the one that he got started on. That's not a game that's great for a kid who was his age when he was five. Like, he could play it now, but at that age, he couldn't. The game that he really took the lead with and beat on his own, the first one he did, was Kirby Star Allies, which is a fun little game, multiplayer. We're probably going to circle back on that this summer because my daughter is having a lot of fun with Kirby, and that is a good beginner game. My son basically took that game and beat it by himself with minimal help from me. I would like pop in sometimes, but yeah, Kirby is wonderful. I did a whole podcast recently with a friend of mine about how Kirby is wonderful for beginners. It's fun for all. It's extremely forgiving, and you can just have a lot of fun with it, and it's fun. So it's got a lot going for it. Kirby Star Allies, the thing with it is that you can throw hearts at people who are normally your enemies, and they will join you. And they have all sorts of different abilities. So there's a lot of fun with that. I think at least two people can play, maybe more, but I can't remember. But it's a fun little game. You can get it cheap. It was like probably a launch title for the Switch, but it holds up pretty well. It's a good, solid Nintendo game. Now, the next one is a little more controversial. I've seen some people don't like it. Yoshi's Crafted World, that was one of the very early games for my son. I got it when it came out. It's a little harder than Kirby Star Allies, but not unmanageable. It's kind of like Princess Peach was with my daughter. He completed probably about 80% of it, and there were times where I needed to step in and help. There's a few varieties of different things you can do in it. The levels are pretty well designed. To really be, and it's all got a DIY feel where it's like things you could build at home, the levels are made out of. So that's fun. There was a level where you get to be like a mechanized Yoshi that punches everything out of its way. My son probably played that level like 200 times. So he had a lot of fun with that. But Yoshi's Crafted World, definitely a good solid experience for, I'd say, like the 4 to 6, 7, 8. You could go even higher, I think, with Yoshi's Crafted World, depending on what your kid is into. But definitely like 5, 6, it's in the sweet spot there. And you can have fun with it too. The only thing I'd caution about Yoshi's Crafted World is if you're trying to, it's one of those games where you have to finish everything to get all of the accomplishments. And there is a ridiculous difficulty spike at the end, which is just inexplicable. You can beat the final boss, but to beat it with all the stars, I never was able to do it. And if I can't do it, that's difficult. I'm not a platforming god by any stretch, but yeah, it's difficult. You basically have to beat the final boss without getting hit, and the final boss in a certain amount of time, and you basically have no margin for error to do it. And it's a bunch of different moves you have to remember and do exactly what's right. So there's that kind of was a sour note ending for me because I tried to beat it. My son really wanted me to beat it and I couldn't. But everything up to that was a lot of fun and I would wholeheartedly recommend it. All right, so now we're getting into the heavyweights. One my daughter and I are having an amazing time with now, Kirby and the Forgotten Land. This is a great two-player co-op game. The best Kirby game I've ever played. There's just a lot of hidden stuff, things to explore. There's different things Kirby can swallow that give him different abilities. And you can also take over the abilities of a lot of your enemies. There's a few mini games in there. A lot of them are pretty fun. They're silly. Some of them get like a silly hard near the end. I had one yesterday that I was getting a little frustrated with, but, you know, doubled down, persevered, got through it. A lot of fun. My daughter and I have had a ton of fun. We're having so much fun. My son, who I bought it for, is taking another look at it. So he's probably going to play it too. So that's a great one. And now we're getting to the top of the list. And these are both my son. These are the seminal games of his experience. One of them is Mario Builder 2. My son likes to create things, likes to build things. This is probably when he was like 8 or 9. He really got into Mario Builder 2. He will sit there and craft out a world in Mario, and he will just be in the zone for like an hour. Just sort of like experimenting, like going through, playing the level as he's building it. Endlessly fascinated with it. He plays the levels other people made. Recently he came up to me and he's like, "Dad, can you write Nintendo?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. Why? What's up?" And he's like, "I'm getting to 100 levels that I've uploaded, and that's the limit. And I would like them to make it 150 for me." And I thought about that for a moment, and I was like, "Well, son, we might need to cultivate, you know, curate your collection of uploaded levels. You know, keep the 100 you like best." So it's a little bit of a learning experience for him. But he's definitely got his money's worth out of it. There is a campaign you can play in Mario Builder 2. That's a lot of different worlds. It's not like a full-blown Mario experience, though. It's just basically there to whet your appetite. You can build levels for the original Mario Bros. I think Mario World, Mario 3, Mario 3D World, probably Mario U. I think those are all in there. So you have some variety of different ones you can do. And there's a lot that you can do with it. And you could also play the worlds that people have made if you have the Nintendo subscription. So it's been a lot of fun, a lot of creativity, and a ton of replay value in that one. And it also taps right into my son's creativity. So he completely loves it. And then we have the grand poobah of games in my fatherhood experience so far, Pikmin 3. My son is just the biggest Pikmin fan. There's a guy on the YouTube named Scruffy, who makes these incredible videos out of how sound is used in video games. And he did one on Pikmin, because Pikmin is very clever in the way that it uses sound. The whole series is. My son saw these and he wanted to play it, and there's a free demo of it on Switch. So you can demo it for free, see what it's like. You run around, you're basically a little tiny guy in someone's garden, and you're running around. You have these little guys named Pikmin who can attack things or carry stuff back to your ship for you. And you have to get them indoors before it's nighttime, or else all the stuff that lives in the garden will come out and eat them. So you basically are on a timer and you're running around on a map, and you have to open things up on the map, carry things back. It's two-player co-op. And that's, I kind of buried the lead there. The two-player co-op in Pikmin 3 is incredible. Like, if you are looking for an experience where you can sit down with your son or daughter and cooperate to beat maps, the only thing I'll caution is some of them have, if you get close to the end, you're a completionist like my son, some of them have very narrow margin for error. So you both got to be locked in. But my son and I eventually beat all the maps. And there's a lot of room for you to learn in there and have fun and cooperate. And there's a ton of replay value in that you learn from how you did the map each day. And then you can sort of go back and figure out what you would do differently. So it's an incredible two-player co-op game. A lot of fun. Very kid-friendly in the look. And the content of it's the favorite game of Miyamoto, who and that's why it still exists, I think, because it's always had a cult following. But the Switch port, Pikmin 3 was originally a Wii U game, and nobody bought the Wii U. And when it got ported to the Switch, that really gave it new life. And then Pikmin 4 came out and was by far the strongest selling game in the series. So there's a chance that Pikmin will continue as Miyamoto maybe steps back a little bit from Nintendo, because that's what I've heard, is that he's less involved with the day-to-day of certain things. But I'm hoping Pikmin will continue. He's really, I think he's been the champion for that one, and it finally broke through, and it's a fun little game. And now just looking ahead, I want to give some ones that I'm looking at. My wish list as a dad, there's games I buy for my kids that they bounce off of, and Super Mario RPG is top of the list. I've tried with both of them. Neither of them have been particularly interested in Super Mario RPG. So it's on the shelf. I'm hoping its moment comes. Another one is Mario Brothership. I'm hoping to do that with my son. I'm hoping to pry him away from Roblox, which is really his thing. It's not my thing as much. The list I've had here are the things that we've done together. Roblox is kind of his thing that he does with his best friend. but Brothership is something I'm hoping we can do together. And then the most inexplicable bounce of all is Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. With the love that he had for Link's Awakening, I thought it would be a no-brainer that they would both love Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. Neither of them have really embraced that game so far. I'm going to keep circling back to it because I know that the puzzle part of it will appeal to my son eventually. It's just hasn't clicked yet. And my daughter's a little too young for it because it's not the most kid-friendly of games. You need to be able to read to play it, basically. So that's kind of where that puts it. A lot of these are ones where you kind of have to be able to read to do it. The Kirby games, you don't so much need to. Pikmin, you don't really need to. You can mostly get by and figure it out. Same with Yoshi's Crafted World and Showtime. But like some of the other games, you do. That does make a difference. And then just one last thing I'll add is my own memories of games growing up. My parents weren't really into video games. My dad had no use for them. He didn't really understand what they were all about, which is cool. He has other interests. And my mom didn't really get it, but she sort of indulged that I was a huge fan of it. So we had an Atari when I was a kid. I loved Pac-Man, all of that stuff. And it's really been a through line for most of my life. And it's funny because one connection I have to these days, I was telling people, I normally play like 2 or 3 AAA games per year. And it's funny because my mom will say, what do you want for Christmas? And I'll like pick out a couple of games that have been out that I haven't gotten. And I say, if you could get me that, that'd be great. And she'll get them for me. And that's usually the games that I play for the year. I think it was a couple years ago that I got Octopath Traveler 2 and Final Fantasy 16. And that was basically last year in major games. Oh, and Persona 3 Reload. But yeah, because I have a birthday after that. Between birthday and Christmas, that's basically it for me. So it's a fun thing that we have a connection there with. And then me and the kids, we have this other connection that's really more us playing together, which has been a lot of fun. So I think it can be really great. I'd say the only other piece of advice for new parents who are dealing with this, the Switch is not exactly like the TV in that you can just sort of set them down in front of it and hope they'll be quiet for about 15 minutes. In my experience, they will usually find something to argue about in like about 30 seconds. And the way that I've been able to deal with that is that we have rules where basically if things get loud, it's going away. That's really helped regulate it. And speaking of things going away and coming back, my son loves retro consoles. We recently pulled out the Wii. I have the Wii. Let's Dance. We're looking to have a lot of fun with Let's Dance this summer. My daughter just finished up dance class. She recently had her first recital. And when that finished, dance was over for the summer. I was like, okay, we need to pull out Let's Dance. So that's another fun one with the family. Just make sure you have enough room. And some of the moves can be kind of frustrating for her. So just impressing the importance of practice. And that's about all the time I have today for video games. I hope you enjoyed the list. Wishing everyone a happy Father's Day. And once again, feel free to hit me up with your parent gaming stories in the chat. Talk soon.